Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 108. As always, this is brought to you by Amazon. Check out thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. Buy your stuff there. Help us do the podcast. We appreciate it. Everybody knows what this is by now if you're listening to podcasts. So, you know, if you find it in your heart, help us out. We like doing the podcast, and, you know, it's not free. With me today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? Sunday afternoon here.
That's right.
Yeah, how's the weather up there?
Pleasant.
It is good. It's been decent. There's been a lot of rain the past couple weeks here, but...
Yeah, there's been a bit of rain, some storms. It's definitely cooled down. It's not that midsummer heat anymore.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, at least a couple days this past week, it's felt like it's fall, which I don't like.
Everything is even, like, shifting that way, too. It kind of is like summer's over, but...
Yeah, but you know what the thing I really get excited for fall is because that's when new products come out in the tech scene, for the most part. Like,
yeah,
that's when all the new cases come out. Like, every company prepares for holiday season, so they have their launches towards the end of summer going into holiday season, and there's just so much cool new tech, and that's what I get excited for.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, but I'm not excited for the colder weather. I do enjoy fall. I like fall.
Oh, I love fall.
Fall is very bearable, and it's just the change of the season is good, but I hate winter. So
yeah. Late fall when it's super rainy and cold, and then the snow, we pass on that altogether.
Yes. So, but instead of talking about weather, let's jump into the tech this week, and we'll start with our reviews. So we did two really awesome products. They're semi-related, I would say. So first, we have the Geel Evo X DDR4 3200 16GB memory kit. So this kit was actually one of the first available DDR4 kits that was RGB. We see a ton now, but this is one of the first kits, and before we saw memory kits with no wires at all, these ones are the ones that have wires, but there's actually advantages to having that. So basically, again, this is like a DDR4 kit, but on the top there's a light bar, and that light bar is RGB, and with this kit there's a couple ways to control it. One, there's actually, if you're looking at the review, Derek, and you guys listening, mm-hmm. Do you see that little red thing at the top?
Yeah.
You can move that, and that's a switch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's a really cool switch that you can select red, green, or blue, or if you move it all the way over, it's like a cycle, a color cycle, which is cool. So that's one way to do it.
So without plugging that extra cord in?
You still have to plug a power cord in, so it's it's a Y split, small little cord that would plug into like a fan hub or a fan header on your motherboard. It doesn't take up a lot of space once you have it installed, you know. Secondly, there is a 4-pin RGB connector on the opposite side of these, and this would connect to any RGB header, whether it's on your motherboard, whether it's on a controller, whatever it may be, you can connect these. And that's kind of the way the RGBs work in these. And the cool thing I think about that is that, you know, RGB is huge and everything like that, but not everybody has the money to go ahead and buy a motherboard or like kind of upgrade, because late Z170 is really when RGB kind of started on motherboards. Yeah. Early Z170 boards, you don't have any RGB functionality whatsoever or RGB headers or anything like that. Late X99, we have some boards that have RGB functionality, but still a lot of them don't even have the headers on them. So if you're rocking an older system, Z170, X99, even older than that, but you want RGB functionality, this can give it to you. You know what I mean? This gives you that option where if you have an RGB controller, NZXT makes one, a couple other companies make them, you can plug this right into that, and it just, you know what I mean? You can control it and do all the cool functions like that. And I think that's where this kit kind of really shines. Obviously, the cables, they're easy enough to hide, in my opinion. If you're doing a good build, you can easily hide the cables, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have newer kits that don't have any cables, but they don't have that complete functionality. And the RGB, if you connect it via RGB cables, it's compatible with every major motherboard software. So Asus Aurora Sync, Gigabyte's RGB, was it RGB Fusion, MSI, Mystic Light. I think those are the three big ones. There might be another one. But it's compatible with all the software. So every functionality that that software has, you can do with this kit as well. And I think that's really powerful because a lot of these kits, they're maybe only compatible with Asus or maybe only compatible with Gigabyte. This is compatible with everything, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is an advantage to it.
Yeah. It's and as far as performance, it is a good kit. I wasn't really able to overclock it the way I wanted to. It just would not keep my timings, which I've had that problem with Geel Memory for some reason. I'm not specifically sure why.
It would reset your timings, or it wouldn't boot with the timings you selected?
It would reset my timings.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. So I still haven't figured it out.
Was it like an XMP thing?
No. So I would set the XMP, you know, to run the regular test, and then I would manually set the timings. And
but was like the XMP like re-overriding after you saved?
No, it wasn't the XMP re-overriding. It was just like the. It would just make it so the timings, whatever the timings had to be for the kit to boot, more or less.
Oh.
Which was annoying. Yeah. It wouldn't, like, I would rather it take my timings and not boot so I knew, rather than boot at the higher frequency, but the timings are really crappy and it's not an efficient overclock.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the issue that I have with this. But it is a really good kit, and again, if you're on early Z170... or, you know, X99 or something like that, where you don't have the RGB functionality built into your board, this is a great kit to have, and I think it's really cool. And the light bar looks awesome. It just, adding RGB memory to your system, it just brings so much more. Like, you don't really realize it until you see it in person. And this kit's a good kit, so.
Nice.
I like it. Yes. And that will bring us to another thing that has quite a lot of RGBs on it. It is the Aorus X299 Gaming 9 motherboard, which currently sits as the flagship X299 board from Gigabyte. This thing is awesome. We've actually taken a look at every high-end, what you would call a Gaming 9 board. So the X99 one, before they moved to the Aorus name, we took a look at the Gigabyte X99 Ultra Gaming, and then the Aorus Z270X Gaming 9. So we know what the Gaming 9 boards are all about. It's basically cramming everything that you can, super high end, into a motherboard. And this is that motherboard. This motherboard's $500.
Yeah.
It is not cheap. I mean, X99 to get into is not cheap either, but this board takes everything to the max. Like, it has everything. You have triple M.2 slots on this. You have the best audio that I've seen on an X299 motherboard. It's just out of control. You have dual LAN with killer E2500 as well as really good Intel LAN. You have wireless. You have killer wireless LAN as well. You have USB 3.1. I mean, you have all these great features, and not to mention more RGB LEDs than any other X299 motherboard.
Nice.
And each section is individually controllable. We saw this on the previous boards as well. I mean, it is really just a great board. If you're a hardcore enthusiast, say you're a hardcore gamer, this is going to give you everything. I mean, there's not much that's really looked over on this board. There really isn't.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything that would be.
Yeah. It's really cool. And one thing that I learned while reviewing this is that this board has digital RGB headers, which means, so most motherboards, they have an RGB header that you connect an RGB strip to. Well, this is a digital header, which means you can connect digital strips, which means you can individually control each LED on the strip through the motherboard software.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so if you're looking to do crazy RGB kind of stuff, this...
Very, very detailed.
Yes, this kit, or this motherboard is just... has it. It's awesome. And it looks really cool. So all of the M.2 slots have covers on them. They have heat sinks, and they're actually heavy heat sinks. The ones we've seen on MSI boards are kind of just like a thin piece of aluminum. This is like a true heat sink. It's really, really big. And it will definitely, if you're rocking like the Samsung drives that really heat up,
960 Pro.
Yeah, this will keep them nice and cool and all of that. And it does come with an external M.2 as well that comes in the form of like a riser card that has a massive heatsink on it too. So technically you can have four M.2s on here. Yeah.
And you can raid them and boot from raid.
Yes, that's something the next $3.99 at least that we know of does not support. So
yeah.
You know, this board has everything. Even the accessories package, like there's so much in there. There's a ton of temperature probes, like there's everything on this. I mean, it's a really cool board, and it's
a flagship Gigabyte board, you know. They always have their high end board always has everything you could possibly want. And Gigabyte makes a really good board. They're really the PCB is really well built. I love the all black, like the black PCB with black components, and then it just like the LEDs on top of it. That's all the color, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what they've done. A lot of companies have kind of done like different color designs, and they're like, listen, the RGBs, you can make it any color that you want. You know, and their RGB software is really good. It's one of the best out there, and I really like it. And now that it is, the new version of the software is compatible with components. So if you have an RGB, another component like a CPU cooler or DDR4 memory, you can actually control it through the Gigabyte software.
That's which is nice.
Really cool. You know, and it's, like I said, it's really well done, so I really like it. And one thing I really want to point out is this board, the big difference between this board and other flagship motherboards from other companies is really the audio. The audio is super, super high-end, and it's backed up by Creative Sound Blaster 720 software, which is like, there's so much gaming-centric things. Like, it will have a little radar showing you where the sound is coming from in-game. Like, there's so much cool stuff. With the audio on this,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. It's really high end. So if you're an audio guy, or you really care about in game audio, this is definitely a board to take a look at. So definitely check out my review. I really enjoyed reviewing this board. It's just that good. You know,
sweet.
So yeah. So definitely check that out. Again, it will kind of break the bank, but if you are going X299, I think you're breaking the bank anyways. At least if you're going to go to the 6-core, the 8-core, 10-core, you're going to break the bank, I feel. So
yeah, you're into the $3,000 to $4,000 build budget here.
Yes, for sure. So definitely, as I said, check out that review. I had a lot of fun doing it. And that moves us to Case Mod Friday, of course, which is where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this one, we have a really interesting build, and it's not super crazy as far as modding goes, but the paint job on this thing is just epic, in my opinion. This is called Asus Boost My PC 11, and it's from L4 Mods, and I think we've featured a couple of his builds in the past. And this is done inside the InWin 303 case, which is a great, smaller case, and an interesting design case, but this has sort of like a space type, is that what you want to call it? Like nebula space?
Like a cosmos.
Cosmos type paint job. And it just looks so cool, I think.
Yeah. A little bit trippy.
Yeah. And one thing I thought was really cool is that he does not use hard tubing.
No, that's, yeah. And that's it can still be done.
Yeah. You know, and it looks good, I think.
You know what? I don't know if I want to maybe make this statement, but hard tubing might be getting towards the played out point.
I would say that there's definitely a place for it, and it's not that I don't like it, and I do like it.
Yeah.
Certain builds can, you know, should be have hard tubing, and certain builds, this type of tubing works.
Well, I just
fine.
Feel like this looks good again. It, you know, like if what, 2-3 years ago, if you weren't doing hard, I mean, even last year, if you weren't doing hard tubing, like, nobody would. I would look at it personally and be like, oh, it's not even hard tubing. But, like, this looks good again. So yeah. It kind of makes me feel like maybe hard tubing is, yeah, I mean, you're still going to see it and it's still going to look good, but maybe you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, I really don't think you have to do it in general. I think that, you know, if you're a first-time builder, you know, I think the notion is that you have to do hard tubing, but you really don't. And I think it makes the process 10 times, I would say 10 times harder, because you have to bend and you have to do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for a first-time builder, I would not even attempt it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a really cool build, and I think it's just clean and solid, and
Yeah. Good paint is good paint, man. It's kind of the paint aspect is kind of a part of computer case modding that's kind of fallen to the wayside somewhat.
Yes, I believe so. I think that in the past we saw some amazing painted cases. I think the way that the case painting has gone is that like the scratch builds will have the really cool paint, but you don't really notice it.
Right.
Because if it's on a plain case, say like this, you really notice it a lot more.
That, and if anything, it's just like a single color. You know, like they're not... We used to see a lot of like paintings and murals and things like that.
Yeah, I think on case panels. Is...
And this is probably the first one I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I think that's why I picked it. I just liked it and it went really well. It just looks good.
It's a cool case.
Yeah, it's definitely something like, you know, any great paint job where you can like show off at a LAN party or whatever it may be. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if this is an LED fan in the front with the.
I'm not sure if that's a
Republic
fan.
Of Gamers backlit emblem. I don't know if it's fan or just an LED. I mean,
I think it's
just
an LED.
It is a fan, isn't it? Or is there even a hole there?
I'm not exactly sure.
No, you can see it. It is a fan in this one.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, like...
That's cool, though. It's very well backlit.
Yeah, very, very... Like I said, it's just a clean build, and it's just, it's really well done. It's something you would want to have sitting on your desk, I feel. Really cool, so...
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, definitely check out that. And as I always say, we have a ton of these mods in our Case Mod Friday section. So definitely, get some inspiration or just geek out for an hour and just go through and, you know, check out all the different mods. So that brings us to the news for this week. And there's some pretty interesting stories here. We've been talking about AMD for weeks now. And the big story, kind of one of the big stories we talked about last week, is that AMD, it more or less seems that they weren't going to be doing a dual Vega graphics card. But recent reports have come out that at least Asus, who's one of the, I would say they've always done a dual card for high-end cards for the most part. It looks like they might be bringing out a liquid-cooled dual Vega card. Much like their older Ares 2 card, which was a complete beast, which was a dual HD 7970, and was the fastest card in the world when it was released. And this is, it's probably going to be a special edition card, maybe 100 made, something like that. And for more or less, it is going to be sort of like, yes, we can do this type thing.
Is it going to have to be custom drivers?
I think that the Crossfire driver will work.
Okay.
That's
because
how
they are moving away from support for that.
Yeah, they're moving away from support, but it is supported.
Okay.
You know, but the card will have two Vega 10 GPUs, so that would give it like over 50 teraflops of FP16 compute, 25 teraflops of FP32 compute, and a TDP close to 600 watts. So with all that on there, you definitely need liquid cooling, and I think it's
Threadripper processor, and you better bust that 1500 watt power supply back out of the closet.
Yeah, seriously. And it is it would be cool to see. I would just love to see the PCB. Like, I think that's just cool looking. Two GPUs on a single PCB.
It's a massive part too. So
yeah. It would be cool if Asus brings this out. We don't know if they are. That's what the reports are, but it would be very, very cool. You know, because again, these crazy edition cards, like, we don't see them as much these days, I would say.
Not really. I was actually wondering, was that Asus Ares 2 liquid cooled version, the 7970, was that the last one? Ares, because Ares, you know, that was just always like pretty much that, and the Lightning was always the biggest card, you know.
Yeah, and the Lightning sort of massive. They did do a 1080 Lightning, but it wasn't like a special. Like, I remember the Lightning cards were like super special edition. Dude,
they were like almost more than three slots, you know.
Yeah, like I guess because one, the market's not there, and two is that the, like, you know, a GTX 1080 Ti is powerful enough to do everything that you want. So it's like,
you know, like, we needed to overclock more in the past, kind of.
And it's like again, you know, these companies spend all this money making this card, and they you know, they only sell a few hundred. It's not really good for their business.
Yeah, it's a lot of R&D.
You know, as we talk about the, you know, the mining craze is going on right now, so they're just trying to pump out as many mainstream cards as they can.
They might sell more of these than they think.
Yeah, so, but it would be really cool. I think that these dual cards is kind of just super, they're just awesome. And I think that if even if I could just see a picture of it and you can tell me it works, that's all I need.
Dual cards are, the GPU cards are really useful too. They're really simple. They simplify your build and then they give you a ton of power. They last you forever.
Like, yeah, you had like, a, what dual card?
I had a 690 and like, that thing lasted well into the 9 series for me. And yeah. I only stopped using it because it got broken with a water. It got shorted on a water block somehow. I don't remember exactly, but it was an electrical problem that was not, like, the card itself didn't break.
Yeah, well, let's say that's what I'm saying. Like, these dual cards really...
They're good cards.
Yeah. And like I said, they're a card that's going to last you a long time. It seems like... You know, every other year you're upgrading or whatever, and this, you know, if you have a dual card, it's going to last you a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, so hopefully it happens. I would like to see it. And, of course, Asus has always been at the forefront of the dual card kind of deal. So if anybody can do it, Asus can do it. So pretty cool.
Yeah, and they can afford to kind of afford to throw the money away on it.
Yes. This past week, the first Ryzen Threadripper 1950X benchmarks have been published by Linus Tech Tips, as he did a video. He wasn't specifically testing the processor, he was testing two systems, and one system was the new Alienware Area 51, the Threadripper edition, which has a 1950X in it. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the benchmarks, one, as far as gaming goes, both Intel Z270 and X299 beat it. In gaming, 3D Mark, the Threadripper kind of is behind the X299, but yeah. Still, it's, you know, for gaming, I just don't. If you're just strictly gaming, I say Z270 or Ryzen is the way to go. More Z270.
Way more Z270.
Yes. I wouldn't. You know, but now if we move over to encoding stuff, the Area 51 Threadripper beat the X299. And to give context to this, the X299 system had the Core i9 7900X as a $1,000 processor. And that is a 10-core 20-thread processor. So the Area 51 Threadripper, which has the 1950X, which is the 16-core.
16, yeah.
Yes. And everything else is pretty much the same. It beats it in the Cinebench R15 multi-thread, and it...
Of course it would, right?
Yes.
I mean, it, to give it credit, it does. It smashes it.
Yeah. And in the Blender test, it beats it as well. And that is expected. I feel that when it comes to encoding, video encoding, the more threads you have or more cores you have, the better performance you're going to get, generally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you keep it in context, the Core i9 7900X and the Threadripper 1950X are both $1,000. So I think one, it comes down to your brand loyalty, right? If you know, and then it comes down to what are you going to use this chip for? If you're doing a lot of encoding stuff, I think you're going to benefit from a Threadripper chip.
I think that 1950X is the go-to part at $1,000 price range, right? Like, yeah. You're not going to find something with more performance for encoding, for doing work, doing tasks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that the motherboard ecosystem for Threadripper, as we saw, is pretty good. Mm-hmm. The only issue is that NVMe RAID problem. So that's something you're going to want to keep in mind. But I think that if you're a creator, if you're doing encoding or anything like that, this gives you a good option. And one that you're going to get more performance for your dollar as far as encoding and multi-threaded things go. So yeah, so well, you know, that's a, it gives us a pretty good idea of what we're going to expect, and it is expected, especially in the multi-core test. So
yeah,
cool to see. And
I mean, we are going to talk about the Intel parts coming up here too, and so that's something to keep in mind on this. Though,
yes,
if absolute performance is your thing and cost isn't an issue, it's the battle is now lost for Intel.
Yes, we will talk about that in just a little bit. But that same Threadripper chip, the 1950X, was overclocked to 4.1 gigahertz, and that's on all 16 cores. Like, people don't understand. Like, we see these crazy high overclocks, but they're on like a quad core chip. I mean, even I have...
Well, and they usually have all but one core disabled.
Yes. So, you know, like, I have the i9-7900X here, and getting all 10 cores running at a high overclock is difficult. But yeah. Reddit user Calling the Wolf has a 1950X and was able to get it up to 4 gigahertz at 1.25V core and 4.1 gigahertz at 1.4V core. And that is on all of the 16 cores. And what's really interesting about this story is that it was done on a Thermaltake Water 3.0 Ultimate, which is, I believe that's their 360 cooler.
It's a good cooler, actually.
But still, that's an AIO that's not LN2, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
That just shows that these chips, just like Ryzen that I had tested, is that these chips are they don't get super hot, and you can push them pretty far because they don't get that hot, and they're good overclockers. I think that's kind of the main thing that's just been proven here with this.
Kind of. The boost clock on it is what, 3.8 though? So it's basically disabling the boost mode and then locking it at 4, kind of, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's a decent overclock, but it's not crazy far.
It's not crazy what it
factory boosts to.
I wouldn't say it's crazy at all. I would say that, again, getting all the cores to run at that 24/7, which even, you know, if any processor, it's going to downclock, it's going to, you know, boost a couple cores, it's going to, you know, it's not going to boost all cores at all at once and be 100% stable. It's just not how those work, sadly. You know, so I think that is pretty impressive, you know what I mean?
It's decent.
Yeah, it's good. I think you have to realize that when these chips boost, not all the cores are boosting, and only some of them are even getting to 4.0 gigahertz. You know, it's just kind of how these work, which is kind of crappy, actually. But that's just kind of, you know, advertising is everything. Oh, we boost up to this, but it's only a couple cores boosting or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But
I find it odd that he ran the two different speed tests on two different benches. There's no comparison then.
Yeah,
because he's, you know, the gigahertz difference. I would have rather seen the same test ran on both overclocks so that you can actually see the scale.
That kind of points
to, we have no idea on the scale here.
Yeah, that also kind of points to, was this 100% stable? Could he only get one to run? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not super familiar with either of those tests, to be honest, so I can't really speak to one being harder. I assume Cinebench is harder.
Cinebench is much harder than Geekbench for sure.
Okay, so his 4.1 is probably not stable.
Yeah. You know, but I think that getting all the cores to run at that speed is impressive. That's a lot of cores. The 16 cores, and if you're running at 1.4 V core, which is very, very, very high for a Ryzen chip.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, like I said, 1.25 is like around that's like the normal overclocking number. So 1.4 is very high.
Also, he doesn't have any temperature results on here.
He does not.
Any screens, so.
Yeah.
It's curious to me. I'm not we'll see. We'll wait for some more overclocking.
Yeah, now that the chip's out there, yeah. I'm sure we'll see different overclocks and more, not just, hey, here's my screenshot, like, you know.
Yeah, there's a number of things we're going to need to see along with it.
Yes. But it gives us hope that we can have a really, really high overclock on Threadripper. And again, that's just going to give you more performance in the long run. So that brings us to another thing about Threadripper, is that a Threadripper 1920 has shown up on motherboard support lists. And this was never announced by AMD. We had the 1920X, which was announced, which was it's a 12-core, 24-thread part. The 1920 should be a 12-core, 24-thread, but maybe lower clocked. But it's going to sit somewhere between the $800 and $550 of the 1920X. And the 1900, so it could be a really sweet spot, I think, for a lot of people who don't need the X features and, you know, this, you know, maybe 200 megahertz difference in speeds, I would say that it might be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to have a lower TDP of only 140 watts to compare to the 180 of the 1920X. So I think it might be a really good value, and I think that this is weird that AMD never talked about this part. But it's
yeah,
pretty much,
I mean, you gotta focus on like your main ones, right?
Yeah, but you know, you would think that when they were announcing it,
they might have mentioned it.
Yeah, they might have mentioned
maybe maybe these are like bad parts, you know, and they weren't able to enable everything on them, so then they use these for this.
Possibly. That is very possible, because we don't know the big difference between the normal parts and what the X part would be. You know, obviously the speeds will be a little bit slower. It might not have, I assume it's not going to have the XFR feature, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see. And again, that could be a really nice sweet spot between the 1920X and the 1900X. So right in the middle there, maybe that's like 800. So in 549, maybe like
700 bucks, 675,
650 maybe.
Yeah. Oh. Probably 650. That sounds more.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a pretty big jump in price to not have anything in between.
Yeah, it is. I mean, 549 to 799 is a pretty big difference. So
yeah.
You know, but cool to see that, and cool to just see another Threadripper chip that, you know, will be out there. So. And as we talked about with Intel, they finally released. We this was leaked a few weeks ago, and we actually talked about it here on the podcast. But they finally announced the official specifications for all of their Core X series chips. So when the Core X series was launched, only up to the 7900X was the specifications were available. So after that, you have the i9 7920X, which is 12 core, 24 thread, 16.5 megabytes of L3 cache. You get all 44 PCI Express lanes, and the TDP is. Where am I looking here? The TDP is 140 watts. And then up from there, you have the i9-7940X, which is 14 core, 28 thread, 19.25 megabytes of L3 cache. And that bumps you up to 165 watts.
I like that part.
That is, yeah, like 12, like 14 core, 28 thread.
3.1 base clock. Yeah. I like that.
And that's $1,400.
Yeah,
and then up
that's
from
still a lot of money.
That's, yeah, and then up from that you have the i9-7960X, which is 16 core, 32 threads. So this is going to be what the one of the ones that's going to be compared to the Threadripper chips, even though it's $700 more, because it's a 16 core, 32 thread parts, 22 megabytes of L3 cache, 165 watt TDP. And then finally, you have the flagship, which everybody was talking about when it was announced, is the i9-7980XE. And that is an 18-core, 36-thread part, 24.75 megabytes L3 cache at $2,000.
And it's a dog.
Yes.
With a 2.6 gigahertz base clock.
Yeah, and boosts up to all the way up to 4.2.
Yeah. That's... Huh.
It just seems crazy.
I don't think it's going to game very well.
It's not going to game well. That is for your hardcore. Yeah. That's for your hardcore encoder developer people.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but here's the thing:
they're still going to run benches on it.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's going to get very good results.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is what we have here for the Core X series. It's a full series. You start at the i5-7640X. At $242, so the minimum cost to get into this is $242, and then you go all the way to $2,000, which just seems. This makes sense if this was your only series, right?
This is just everything you made,
except for like the super low end, like i3s and stuff, right?
Okay, yeah.
If this was your entire range, that's fine. But what we talk about, you know, we still have Z270 and we have Z370 that's coming up very soon, from what I know. Actually, it is very soon because they're going to announce it, which we'll talk about.
Yep.
And it's hard to justify these, especially the lower end parts here. It's hard to make sense why they're even part of the series. Because one,
they shouldn't even exist.
They cut down your PCI Express lanes. Two, they cut down your memory support. So the 7740X and the 7640X only give you dual channel DDR4.
It should have started at the 7800X, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's not that's a relatively inexpensive price still at $389 for an X series part, and you know, to get you onto that better, you know, more full featured motherboard, and it's a 6-core part, so it's going to do a lot more for you. I feel like that's where it should have started, and the rest of it doesn't make any sense. The rest of it is essentially mainstream parts that run in. You know, we've beat this to death, kind of.
Yeah, I think that there are boards out there now that are made for those low-end parts that have dual-channel memory, you know, slots and all that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you could get, at least in my opinion, there's still much more value in a Z270 system. Especially, so we talk about these multi-core processors for doing and coding and things like that. But again, you have a 4-core 4-thread part and a 4-core 8-port part, or 4-core 8-thread part. Like, you have that in the Z270 line. They're going to have
had that for the past like 8 years.
They're going to have better IPC. You're going to get much more out of a motherboard at a lower cost.
Yeah.
They're going to run at a lower TDP. Like, you know what I mean?
They're cheaper parts.
Yeah, that too.
You know.
So yeah. So like I said, good that we actually officially have all the information on these to kind of give you.
It's nice to have the other information for the top parts. We've been waiting for that.
Yeah. So it's I mean, it would be nice to have that 18-core 36-thread part, right?
Maybe.
You know, we're building a new encoding rig, and that would just set it off, because doing 4K video and encoding it is just it's taxing, and having that would just make it go really fast.
Probably do the job. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's basically it's a server chip.
Yeah, more or less. We'll move on from the X series to the Coffee Lake, or which most people will know as X370. And it looks like it's going to get 24 PCI Express lanes from the chipset, which
pretty
is a
cool.
lot.
Yeah.
You know, typically you get 16. You know, and these are multi-purpose, so like a lot of the chipsets will give you 8 to 10 general purpose lanes from the chipset, and then that gives you the ability for M.2 slots, U.2 storage, USB 3.1, Thunderbolt, and all that kind of stuff. You know, what's really cool about this, I think Intel is doubling down on these new technologies, especially M.2.
Mm-hmm.
That's become so popular, and every board has at least one M.2 slot on it. And with these extra lanes, you'll have multiple M.2s. You know, great US. Go ahead.
You got to be able to run your M.2s and then still have full 16 for your graphics card, you know?
Yeah.
That's just kind of a standard now. So this makes total sense. It's cool.
Yeah. So I think that this will be, you know, the new X370. It's going to have a lot of the boards. I'm really excited for the boards more than the chips, if anything.
Yeah, I think this just goes to show that it's going to be this is a worthwhile upgrade because the platform is going to be stronger.
And I think that this is going to once again give people a reason to choose Intel over Ryzen for the fact that the boards have more features. Even in my opinion now, the Z270 boards have more features on them than the Ryzen boards.
Slightly.
Yeah. But the CPU performance is a little bit better on Ryzen because you have more cores, right?
Yeah, in certain instances.
Yeah, in certain instances. But I think that this is really going to double down on those motherboard features, and it gives you a reason to choose Intel. Another reason besides performance, as you know, as far as like, you know, this motherboard has this all this stuff on it, like you're going to have more.
Yeah, I think this gives you more reason to game on Z370, right?
Yes,
because you're guaranteed that you can connect all of your super fast M.2s, get your games loaded up quick, get into game faster, and you can still run your beefy graphics card at full 16 times.
Yeah.
So probably, most boards are going to probably do dual 16 capable, or some at least.
Some will, for sure. Yeah. But I think that this really doubles down on the feature set.
Yeah.
And will just allow motherboard manufacturers to do more with the boards. And,
yeah, it's a broader base platform.
Yeah, so I think this is in reaction to AMD, for sure.
Good.
You know, yeah, this is kind of what we wanted from that whole thing anyways.
If Ryzen never happened, we might have seen another 3 or 4 years before we saw a PCI Express lane increase.
Yeah, so it's good. It's really good to see that. And Intel will be updating their audio solution as well.
Okay.
So they've been using the HD audio specification for 15 uh-huh. years. And it's going to be replaced with the new Intel Smart Sound technology, which is a quad-core DSP. You know, pretty cool. So better audio as well, finally.
Yeah.
You know. So, talking about Coffee Lake, we have information on some chips. And these are i3 chips, but they're kind of interesting parts, especially the Core i3-8350K, because it's a four... All of these are four-core parts, and that's something you don't typically see with Core i3 parts. So the Core i3-8350K... will more or less be the successor of the i3-7350K, and the chip is fully unlocked, base clock of 4 gigahertz, unknown boost clock right now, 8 megabytes of shared L3 cache, and a TDP of 91 watts, which seems high for a Core i3 part, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it has a base clock of 4 gigahertz, though.
Yeah, that's true. And it's fully unlocked, so you can just push it.
Yeah. The nice thing is the i3 would have normally been a 2-core, 4-thread part.
Yeah.
Which is fine in theory. In practice, it's not a quad-core, you know?
Yeah.
So this gives you a true quad-core, which is much, much better.
Yeah, and this, again, just seems in reaction to Ryzen as well, with these lower-end parts... getting 4 cores, especially because a lot of games just require it these days. They require 4-core processors to run.
Yeah, basically.
So it's just good. It's good to see this. So we have information on the i3-8100, the i3-8300, and the i3-8350K. I think that 8350K is going to be a really cool part for people who want to save some money, but still want to be able to do some stuff, I think.
Yeah, I kind of think that that's going to be the baseline for, like, a gaming rig. Like,
yeah, like a low-end
gaming rig. This is going to do it, right? Push that 4 to 5, maybe 5.5 if it's possible. And,
yeah, we'll have to
see. You'll do some work with it.
Yeah, and I think that there will be the, what's the H3 X370 would be like the mainstream chipset, not the X370. And you can build a really good system with that, I think. You know, so you would save some money.
Yeah,
and all that. But yeah, cool to know all the info on these. I'm excited to see what we have coming up for the i5 and i7 in this line. But really, really cool.
Do you find the 189? I kind of think that's a little high.
That's no, I don't think. If you look at,
I mean, the 7350K is at that price, but I kind of just think that that's for an i3. I don't know. I almost would rather buy an older i7 that's coming down towards that price range.
Possibly. You have to keep in mind too is that, you know, when you're buying older parts, you have the older chipset and you have the older feature set, and that's kind of what, you know. But I mean, if you think about it, if you could get that part for $189, you get a really good motherboard. And again, we're going to have those 24 extra PCI Express lanes, so you have like multiple M.2s. Like, you could build a really good system, I think. And I sure. I don't think that price is out of whack that much.
Okay.
You know, especially since Intel killed off the good part. Which was the $64 penny part. So
that's what I'm saying, though. I want a $64 part.
Yeah.
I want this to be like $150, when maybe $149, so that I can overclock it without. I just won't care.
Yeah, I think it could be because that's. I believe that Core i3 part had hyper-threading, or you know what I mean? And this doesn't have.
Yeah, it did have hyper-threading.
Yeah, so I think the price could be even lower. We're not, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
So.
I want to see this under some liquid nitrogen or some LN, you know, in just six and a half gigahertz, and then just run some games.
That'd be crazy. talking about all of these chips, it looks like on my birthday, which is August 21st, good day to do it. Intel is going to unveil their 8th generation Intel Core processor family, and they're going to be doing it on Facebook Live, which is interesting. Which kind of makes sense. I feel that the Facebook community is just like everybody has Facebook, right? So it makes it easier for everybody to tune in and get alerts about it and what's going on and all that.
Sure. So, I don't know. The player is not very robust, but whatever. It's a good way to reach people.
Yeah, I think it's just a good way to reach more people. But I think this just seems fast. Like, Z270 launched in January.
They don't have a choice.
Yeah, and I think this is all of this is a direct response to Ryzen.
Yeah.
And that a lot of Intel users feel that they were kind of that into. Intel has done the same thing over and over again, these incremental updates that don't give you much. The feature set has stayed the same. But 100%,
They've been holding back, for sure.
Yeah, but it was the only option you had because AMD sucked. Now AMD doesn't suck. And you have the option, and people are going the Ryzen route because they're sick of Intel's crap, I guess you would say.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, so it would be interesting to see what all is announced on the 21st. Again, you know, we have the link there where you can get more information. But 8 a.m. Pacific time, so that's noon, August 21st. I should be awake by then. And,
yeah.
You know?
Maybe.
Yes. So pretty cool. I think out of anything, I'm excited for the motherboards. Because that's just, I'm a motherboard guy, so.
Yeah, I think this is going to be another incremental step. I think that what we're seeing, in my opinion, what we're seeing right now is Intel realizing that they need to get a couple generations further ahead than where they're at currently in order to be, like, beating AMD again, how they had been. And they've got all of these lines already mapped out and, you know, money dumped into them. And so now they're just shuffling these things out.
And I think that, too, I think it's finally time to give users what they want. And I don't think Intel has done that.
No.
And I think with this generation, at least we would hope we already have the increased, PCI lanes, better audio, some other stuff in there as well. So hopefully this will kind of realign intel with their users more. So yeah. Like I said, we have all the information happening on my birthday, August 21st.
Nice.
So yes. And this week, there's actually a lot of these out, but we're just going to talk about the first one because EK announced theirs. Almost everybody announced theirs, but I can't even say it. Bye Kiski?
Bixky.
Bixky, is that how you say it? They're a Bixky. Chinese, mainly Chinese water cooling company. They make blocks for a bunch of different stuff, and they were the first to announce their Threadripper water blocks. Yeah. And two different colors, so you have red and silver, and they look pretty basic. They are RGB. They have RGB versions, so they'll light up with RGB lights. I don't think there's a whole lot of room for innovation with these Threadripper blocks because they're so big. And like,
it's kind of cool though because they're so big. They're rectangles.
Yeah, they're big rectangles. That's most of the ones I've seen are like that.
I mean, they have to be. It's a rectangular part, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, cool to see these come out. Like I said, everybody has theirs out now. These are just the ones that I want to talk about because they were the first, the first to announce. So if you are, you know, getting a Threadripper part, you are covered in all facets with water cooling. I think you really are. There is.
I think that that's definitely a part that's ripe for the water cooling too.
Yes, I think that one, you have that surface area, which is, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And two, I think that just a big cooler on there just looks like dumb, like a big air cooler.
Yeah.
I think that just putting a water block on that thing is just the way to go. So. So yeah.
I think that Bixky block actually looks better than the EK block this time around.
I forget who else announced one. Theirs actually looks pretty decent. The XSPC has one. I'm gonna send it to
you. Oh, really?
Yes.
Check that out. They I mean they're the bargain brand, I guess. They're not really a bargain brand.
They're like the not as well known.
How do you describe XSPC? I mean, they're certainly super affordable, right? But they oftentimes have interesting stuff, though.
Yeah. Oh, they do. So I just sent you the block, the XSPC block.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's basically just like a solid piece.
It might just
piece.
Be the blue coolant that does it, but yeah, that's a cool looking. Man, we should have a we should make a page which is all the excess the Threadripper blocks.
Oh, we should. There's a lot. So yeah, I think that it's the part to. I guess I really don't like the EK block. I really don't.
No, it's not good.
It feels like there's space wasted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm so
good. Like both the Bixky and the XSPC, they have a nice big piece of aluminum.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we could maybe put a vote up on Facebook and see which one's
best. Like. Yeah.
I personally like the XSPC one the best out of the three.
Yeah, there's got to be more though.
There probably is. I just haven't found one, but
yeah.
But yeah. So cool to see that we have block. You have options when it comes to cooling this, but I think again, water cooling is the way to go with this thing. So, so yes,
get those clocks up there, keep them nice and cool, 24/7.
And one thing that I'm super excited about is that Samsung is working on new consumer SSDs, NVMe SSDs in their 970 and 980 series. These will succeed the current 960 Evo and 960 Pro, which is exciting because those are pretty much the most popular NVMe M.2 SSDs out there. Samsung kind of pretty much controls the market.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they did that. They just kind of suddenly were the most popular. They weren't for a long time.
No,
it was pretty wide open. Anybody could have been the best, and then all of a sudden, it was Samsung. So
yeah, Samsung pretty much owns that market, and it's those drives are great. They're great drives.
It's for a good reason. Yeah,
and because of the size of Samsung, and because they make their own NAND and everything else, mm-hmm. And the control. I believe that they make the control. They make everything. Samsung makes everything that's on it. Because of that, they're able to give a very aggressive price, and that's why these drives are so popular. Is because they're not expensive. For what you're getting.
Yeah.
The only issue that we've seen is they get really hot and they throttle at times, which can easily be solved by just putting a heatsink on there.
So they renamed them, right? From the 960 Evo and Pro to the 970 and 980. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the changing the naming structure?
I think it just makes it easy.
I think it makes it worse.
You don't think? Because, 970 is obviously lower than 980, so if you're getting the 980, it's not, it's just like graphics cards.
Be a progression of series. Those are two totally different, this is this model year and that's the next model year.
True.
Evo and the Pro are the different performance categories. That makes more sense to me. This makes it more is one from 1 year and one's older?
No, I get what you're saying. I think that if you've been following Samsung, it would kind of confuse you.
Yeah.
We should see these before the end of the year. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, definitely.
I like Samsung drives. They perform really well, and
it's nice to see before the end of the year. So if you're starting to look to build a new build with all the new parts coming out, here's the drive you want probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So moving from that to a really cool product that Fantex announced at Computex, but they're now available, is their Halos Lux RGB fan frames. And these are frames that go around your current fan. So if you already have a fan, these go around them. And they add either a certain color, or there's the Lux version, which is the RGB. And they just add that extra RGB functionality. And I think the thing that really is really cool about these is that we have RGB fans out there, right? We do.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times those RGB fans aren't as efficient as pro model fans that are 30, 40 bucks a piece that we see that are specifically made for water cooling or whatever.
It's oftentimes a choice between one or the other.
Yeah, so this gives you the option to add the frame that gives you that RGB functionality, but you still get the great performance of this high-end fan that you already have.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah. Or if you already have outfitted your system in fans and you don't want to upgrade them all to RGB, this makes it easy to do that.
If you've ever done a water cooling build, you don't think about the fans in your budget or whatever, and then you get to them and you're like, oh man, I'm about to buy $200 in fans. Ridiculous.
I don't know. What's the super high end?
Noctuas are good, but they're not super water cooling.
I'm trying to think about the best water cooling fans.
Been a minute.
Yeah.
Cougars are pretty good, actually.
So the Be Quiet Silent Wings are listed here. The Master Print. I'm just on Reddit. This is what people said. Master Fan Pro air pressure versions. EKR.
Those are horrible fans.
Corsair ML120.
No.
No, okay. The Noctua NF-F12.
Yeah. Specific Noctuas are good.
Yeah.
I think there's a Bits Power fan that's pretty good.
It's how much is that fan? So,
Bit Phoenix, excuse me. You're talking $20 to $30 a fan.
Yeah, and then that adds up real quick when you're doing that. So that's something you want to think about. This can just add a little bit of extra.
This keeps you in the fans that you want, or it saves you from having to completely upgrade to new fans. As long as they work right, yes. I imagine you might have a spacing issue. Maybe.
Possibly. I don't know if there's
seen the part separate from a fan, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
What you're talking about. Oh, phobias are good. Noise blockers. Scythes. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think this is just a cool little thing, and you don't have to sacrifice the performance of that great fan that you have. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And
they kind of make a bunch of things like this.
Yeah, a bunch of like really cool things that are just like kind of like
little
modder friendly, or like, yeah, like little add-ons that you can kind of, they just give you more, and they add a little bit to your build, you know. Right. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, the one brand I was trying to think of was Gelids.
I've never even heard of them.
No, yeah, that's like one of the go-to water cooling fans.
Nice. Talking about, it is summer, or we're almost through summer, but Corsair is having a summer sale, which started yesterday.
Gotcha.
So it is, they didn't want Steam to have all of the credit for the summer sales. So Corsair is having their own summer sale. So if you're a fan of Corsair, a lot of stuff is going to be on sale. And some of the big things is like the H100i Extreme Edition, is going to be $99, down from $129. The Lapdog, which I don't have the Lapdog, but I have the Rocket version. And this is awesome for playing games, like, in front of a TV.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's like, because, you know, you sit in front of your computer all day, and you just want to sit down, but you don't want to play with the controller. Who wants to play with the controller? Come on. Nobody wants to play with the controller.
Nobody wants to play with the controller.
Yeah. So this, it just allows you to sit down and play video games on your, on, you know,
just with in front of TV.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Social,
so
yeah.
This is a really good price.
Get one of these for my projector, man.
Yeah, the Lapdog is normally $120. It's down to $70.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
That's a good deal, and it's really cool. I don't know what the Lapdog actually. It does come with the keyboard. It does come with a mouse, but I believe it does come with the keyboard. I'm pretty sure.
Well, it doesn't look like it does.
No, it doesn't. So, like, the one that I reviewed from Rocket does. It comes with the keyboard.
Yeah, it's built in, right?
Yeah, so you have to buy a Corsair keyboard on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I do have a Corsair keyboard, but I actually don't like it. So, but yeah. maybe in the Lapdog it might be better, because I actually don't like the, like, the shape of it. I think is what I don't like.
So yeah,
it just kind of sits it down inside.
Yeah, as long as you have a Corsair, I believe, K series keyboard, you're good.
Nice.
So a lot of cool stuff going on for the summer sale. You know, like I said, if you're a fan of Corsair, you're looking to do an upgrade or anything like that, some decent deals here. You know,
nice.
even their 1080 Ti is on sale. The Hydra GFX 1080 Ti,
$50.
I mean, that's still $50, especially in the climate we're in for graphics cards.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good deal. So, yeah. You know, it's just some cool stuff on sale. I don't see. If you're looking at one of these products, I don't see why now's the time to buy. So,
yeah,
cool stuff, and good for Corsair for doing that. And that wraps up our news for this week. And that'll bring us to what we have coming up next week. And I have another RGB memory kit, and this one comes from G-Skill. It is their Trident Z RGB kit. They sent me a 32 gig kit, and these, I would say, are one of the most popular RGB memory that you can buy. It just seems like every build, if they have RGB memory, this is what they use.
Because they look awesome.
Yeah, they just, they look awesome. But just on top of that, I mean, they're built on top of a really good kit. The Trident Z kit by itself is really good, and they've added RGB light to it. So really cool, and I'm really excited to tell you guys all about them in my review. And then I didn't get to it last week. I wanted to get it done, but Sith, I have their Muggin 5, and it's just a solid CPU cooler. Really, really cool. And if you're looking to do, you know, Sith is one of the, I'd say, more overlooked companies when it comes to air cooling. They make some really great products, and some of the best performing air coolers that we've ever tested have been from Sith. So definitely stay tuned for that review. And then Cooler Master is launching two new kind of entry level gaming products made for people who are, you know, that's the last thing you think about when you're doing a build is your keyboard and your mouse, and they want to kind of help you save money in that regard. So two new products, I can't tell you what they are, but they launch this upcoming week, so I'll have both of those reviews as well.
Cool.
So a lot of cool stuff you know, that's going on. So I'm pretty excited to you know, show all that stuff off to you guys, and getting ready to redo this whole build that I'm doing here. I'm pretty excited about that as well. So, nice. So yeah, it's just busy over here, man. So this is the getting to the end of the podcast. We talk about if we did anything this week, and did you do anything?
Not really. No? Kind of. Cyclocross bike season is coming up. I'm kind of gearing up, getting into that quite a bit.
What is it?
Cyclocross bike racing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix between mountain biking and road racing, and it's my favorite type of bike racing that exists, and so I kind of, you know, throwing myself into that pretty hard right now.
Cool, very cool.
Yeah, you?
Didn't really do much.
Yeah.
But I did, however, watch the trailer for Ready Player One.
Yeah, you want to make me sad?
There's a lot of Easter eggs in it, which is interesting.
Yeah, the whole thing.
And then I like researched it on Reddit, and then I was just stuck there, just like trying rewatching it.
Have you ever read it?
No, but that's the thing is, I want
to
read it.
To read it, I've probably done it on this podcast multiple times.
I'm gonna read it before the movie comes out.
Yeah. Like even Casey Neistat did a video on reading the book.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So. Read the book. Please read the book.
No, Derek has told me to read the book for a while now, and I've just
been
so
busy. Read the book. I'm rereading the book for the fourth time right now.
Nice.
It's that good.
Yeah. So, I think the movie's going to be great, but I think that...
I don't.
I think that... Well, I think it's going to be great for people who haven't read the book, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Who's directing? Steven Spielberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can't be horrible.
Yep, it can.
But,
have you ever heard of a little-known movie called Indiana Jones, The Crystal Skull?
I like all Indiana Jones movies.
You did not like that movie. That movie was stupid.
It wasn't as good as the...
No, it was stupid.
Here's the thing about Indiana Jones movies. I like them because they're, like, based on history and archaeology and shit like that.
Okay.
So...
Yep.
But it does not compare to the other three at all. Not even remotely.
No.
But I'm glad that they're... One, Indiana Jones is I think is my favorite character of all characters.
Really? Okay.
He's just a cool dude.
He is, no doubt.
He's smart. Two, he's a badass. And one, Harrison Ford plays him amazingly too.
Oh yeah.
And I was always into like history and archaeology too. So he's like my perfect character. So if there's anything Indiana Jones, I'm into it. I don't care what it is. So I might be biased in that regard, but it wasn't as good as the other ones. Not at all.
Yeah.
You know. But
Yeah. It's just. And I know that Ready Player One is a tough movie to make. The licensing alone is a nightmare. But, like, there's some major plot... Well, not even plot. Like, character choices. The lead actor is the complete wrong choice. It does not match the character in the book whatsoever.
Yeah, so I need to read this thing.
I just don't know why you would change that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's how movies work. It's sad because there are a lot of amazing books that get turned into movies, and the movies are extremely horrible. I'm trying to think of any of the ones that I've.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, I watched that this week, so I figured you'd be excited about that.
I was until I saw it.
Yeah.
And then I was just so sad.
But I'll order it tonight on my Kindle
and
start reading it, because I've been having a problem falling asleep because I've had so much on my mind, but like reading a book allows you to kind of get out of that thing. So maybe I'll do that tonight. Yeah, guys, so that wraps up our podcast here. As I said, everything that we talked about will be in our show notes, which we will have linked. But you can go ahead and you know, as we go through, you can read these things even more. Get the links to, you know, the Facebook Live for Intel, the Corsair Summer Sale, that kind of stuff. We'll have everything in there. And then on all of your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. That's it. Easy to find. So until next week, catch you guys later.